Good morning. I just want to say welcome, everybody. Whether you are here as a regular attender or this is your first time in the church because maybe you're visiting with family for the holidays, we just want to say welcome. Something that's important that I'm going to be talking about is our life group. It's a ministry that we have here at the church. But what's really cool is even if you have never been here before but you're looking to come to our church, or if you've been coming to our church for a really long time, and you're looking to be part of a ministry, this message pertains to you, which is a good thing. We hit all the aspects here. I do want to thank Pastor Tony for giving me the opportunity to be able to come up here and be able to speak about our life groups and why life groups is so important to the life of the believer, but also to the health of the church. Now, if you are not familiar with what our life groups are, it is where we have small groups of people where we come together in the middle of the week outside of the church in somebody's home. And we have conversations based on the sermon, but really around the Bible. But it's to have a Christian element and have Christian edifying conversation tied into having community and fellowship with other people. Now, the cool thing about the groups is there will be people that you will meet on a Sunday morning here that is going to be a lot different than you're going to meet in somebody's home. I know for me, when my wife and I, we first started attending the church, there are people that I met here that I got pretty friendly with people. When I went to life groups, I made different relationships. I was able to talk to people and connect with people on a deeper level than I would have been able to here on a Sunday morning. Now, I'm not just up here talking about life groups because it is something that I'm heading it up, and it is something I am passionate about. I'm not trying to sell it. But what this message is going to be about is trying to paint the picture of how they are essential for the life of believers. Now, you probably heard me say the word community a couple of different times. And to give a definition of what the word of community it breaks down to, is it's listed as a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in mind. Now, I'd say it's a fair assumption, if you're not traveling for the holidays, that if you come to this church regularly, you live on Long Island. Now, if you do not and you commute here every week from off the island, please come and talk to me. I'd love to meet you. But outside of that, when we talk about that particular characteristic, most of it is people who come to the church, but it surrounds around Christ, where it's a Christ-centered thing. And that's what kind of makes up our community. Now, when I think about people as a whole coming together, and I think about people being alone, there is one verse that always has kind of stood out to me. It's in Genesis 2:18. We're not going to throw it up on the screen. It's just going to be something I'm going to graze over. But in the midst of God creating the universe and God creating the world, and he's speaking into, think of the most beautiful thing you can think of, whether it be the top of mountains, whether it's a beach, maybe you like the beach. I like stars, right? Think about galaxies. While he's in the midst of creating all these magnificent things, there was only one thing that was not good, and that was that man was alone. That God making everything, as beautiful as it was, when he made man, acknowledged, man should not be alone. Something that's important to point out is even in our justice system that we have, when we think of somebody who did something heinous and they're put in the worst punishment they can get, it's solitary confinement. Right? They are taken and they are put in a cell alone, disconnected from other people. Being separated from other people is a punishment. We're meant to be with others. We're meant to have this sense of community. And so that's why it is so important, because we're not just called to be lone Christian kind of cowboys. We ride off into the sunset by ourselves. We're supposed to have these other people who are there with us to help build us up. Now, something that is important is that when we are constantly surrounded in our modern world with everything that's around us, I'm sure everybody has a phone, right? I have a phone, I have an iPad, I have my computer, I have my watch, right? There's always things buzzing and going off. We can become very distracted, and we can kind of lose sight of what's important. On top of that, with the creation of social media or different media outlets, whether it's TV or movies, there's also things that seep into our mind and seep into our everyday life, and that sometimes, if we are not careful, we can be led astray. When there's not a certain checks and balances kind of put in place where we're kind of held accountable. And so my first point that I really want to make is that that community, that small group of people, community provides security and safety to the believer. When I was trying to think about like the most basic example I could of how to articulate, like how does staying together make something safe? I like nature, as I mentioned before. I kind of like stars, right? All that kind of stuff. But on top of that, I also like documentaries, right? And so with that being said, there are plenty of nature documentaries out there, right? Netflix has a nice like 4K ones out there. And if you've ever seen them, I'm sure you've seen there's a nice group of animals and they're all kind of like walking together in a pack. But then the one little baby strays from the group, and then they scan like 50 feet away, and lurking in the brush is some type of predatory animal, whether it be a lion or something else. Even animals know staying together provides safety in a herd for safety. And why that's so important is, I'm gonna also graze over Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. We're not gonna throw it up. It's something I do encourage you to read on your own if you do. But it hits on the fact where it says that we are to provoke each other unto love and good works. Then it says to not forget to assemble ourselves together, but to encourage one another. There is this call we are encouraged to kind of come together, to assemble, and to provide safety, security, and support. Because as I mentioned before, we do live in a very media-oriented society where, as it can be a very good strength that we have, where we can be maybe driving in our car and listening to a message or a sermon or just listening to uplifting things and have the Bible always handy, there are other outlets out there. There are other pastors that may exist in the world. And over time, if we're not kind of cautious, there are certain things out there where if we're not careful, we'll start to seep into our mind through media, and if we do not have this herd for safety, this group that we're kind of in that builds us up regularly, we can allow things to get in that maybe shouldn't be there. And so going further into why having a nice, healthy group is so important, we can just look at the simple verses like Proverbs 27:17. And that verse says, I'm sure most have heard it, iron sharpens iron, right? So as a friend sharpens his friend. There is a direct correlation between the people that we surround ourselves with and then how we then in turn act. And so we're gonna have people we interact with out in the world, whether it be at work or the grocery store or wherever you may frequent throughout the week. But what's really important is if we're called to assemble together here on a Sunday morning, it's important. But also it's important to make it, to do that throughout the week. And to make it a priority, because there is that honing factor that exists. If we spend too much time getting honed in by the world, that will show. If we're not making it a priority to be honed in together as believers. But where I really want to kind of dig into to look at some real information, I want to look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And it gives us a great example of safety in numbers. And so it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Right? And so, right from the surface, one of the first opening lines in the verse, it's basically saying two is better than one, right? We see there's this number distinction. But something I always like to point out is there's like a woe to him in the verse. Now, I don't know about you, when I see that, I never want to be like the woe to him guy, right? There's a clear warning to stay away from that, right? And so we see just being alone and being by yourself, there's a direct woe to him. That's not good, right? Going back to the initial creation of man where man was not good alone, it's being reaffirmed here. It's not good that we wander by ourselves. Now, we can keep reading, and when it talks about, again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Something that is important to mention is, yes, in our modern world, we can just go over to the thermostat and like turn up the heat in our houses, right? Or maybe have like a nice heated blanket you can kind of like plug in and get under. But back then, right, if we're looking a couple thousand years ago, staying together for warmth was a big deal. There needed to be body heat. You needed that where people would huddle up to sleep at night. And so this is an important thing that really hits home, especially in this time, is we need other people. We need to have people to warm us up. But in the same way that this verse is talking about staying warm in that physical sense, where you have somebody close that maybe warms us up, there's also that metaphorical sense, because there are times in this world where we may grow cold, and we do need somebody else there to kind of warm us up, where we have love and grace towards others, to not forget what we're supposed to be doing on this earth. And that's why it is so important to have people. But what I really like is there's the implementation of the third person, right? We have two people, and most people, if they had to pick somebody who's close, there's right, a spouse, a significant other, or that close friend that you know you could pick up and they're gonna answer that phone at any time. You may have that. But there's the implementation of the third person, because the verse says, two is good, and two will withstand, so we know that's well, but a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is a direct correlation to the importance of having community, of having a small group of believers, of people that will be able to come together and grow and have security and safety in numbers. But in case those verses were not clear enough, we're going to look at Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Now, in this verse, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted to. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, there are so many things that I could take in this verse and probably like teach like a whole 30 minutes on this alone. I'm not doing that, right? We're just going to take what's important here for this message, looking at it. But there's two things I want to point out. The first thing is that Paul was writing this passage to the church of Galatia. But on top of that, Paul was writing this to saved believers. So this has a distinct correlation to the church. And when he's writing this, he's basically addressing them saying, if there's anybody who is caught in transgression, so any wrongdoing, those of you who are part of that community, bring them back with gentleness, right? That's the key there. But it's important. We need people to have our back. Once again, there's this safety in numbers thing that happens here. But then there's also a direct warning. It says, keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted to. What that goes to show us is we are never above that threshold of temptation. That there is always something that could happen. If we are not careful, we could stumble. And that's why we need other people to be watchful, to have our backs. Once again, this theme of community that we see. And then there's an important ending part of that verse where Paul writes, with the heavy calling, and to bear one another's burdens, and in doing so, fulfill the law of Christ. This kind of brings me to my second point, right? We had community provides security and safety, but here we also see community also provides support. Having people there to also bear our burdens. And when I was trying to think of the perfect picture to give of times where somebody needed support, the first story that popped in my head was with Moses. And it was in Exodus 17, 8 to 13. Most people are familiar with the story. I'm not going to read the passage. I do think you should be able to read it on your own. I think it'd be very nice and very helpful. But in those verses, you have the Israelites fighting the Amalekites. And as long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites did very well and they prevailed. But when they lowered, the Amalekites started to gain traction. And so what's really important is, I don't know about you, but you know, I try to exercise, I try to stay healthy, but I can't keep my hands up for a whole day. That was what was being tasked with him. If I'm up for a couple, you know, maybe an hour, I don't even know about an hour, right? I'll start shaking, they start dropping, right? It's not gonna go well, but Moses needed support. And the Bible gives a direct example. Moses needed an Aaron and a Hur, three people, right? Not two, not one, three total in that group. One for each to support his hands until the battle was won. Once again, there is this heavy calling that there is support that comes with community, that there are going to be times where we're facing something in our life that we may not understand it, we may feel burnt out, but we need people there that are going to help support us, that are going to help keep our arms up while we're going through whatever we're going through. Now, with that being said, hopefully you're starting to see this picture of the necessity of having safety and support with believers, that there is a direct correlation between having that community and being more secure in the body of Christ. But what I really want to get into is our life groups and where we kind of get, how we do our life groups and why we do them, and that's going to be in Acts 2, 42 to 47. Now, it is a longer passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it, and then I'm kind of going to break down a couple of things afterwards. But this passage says, this is about the early church. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." But here's the key concept that's going to be coming up. It says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." There is a direct correlation between people coming together and interaction with the community outside the church. That looking at this passage here, we see day by day they're going to the temple. So coming to church, meeting at church, assembling together is important. But on top of that, breaking bread and meeting in each other's homes is also essential. And it's when these two can exist and come together that the church can really grow and be empowered. Now, this passage gets me excited, not just because it lays out for our life groups, which is something I care deeply about, but it gets me excited because there is this recipe for the true health of the life of a believer and the true life of the church. Because on a Sunday morning, we can come here, and this church makes it very easy to have a time of fellowship where there are bagels provided and coffee, where we can go out and we can talk about our weeks with somebody. But there is something deep, there is something more important where we're able to kind of come together and constantly pursue Christ. And where we're able to do that and grow one another, there's this formula that's there that's present in Acts, in that passage. And that is that teaching with fellowship, so that's being taught and coming together in somebody's homes regularly, that produces Christ followers and results in people being saved around them. If we see in that last section of Acts, it says, "And day by day, people were coming to Christ." Correlation between a healthy church and a healthy believer with the world around them coming to Christ. Now, the early believers, they were very prosperous in this, right? And that's how God ordained it to be. We must not forget our mission of why we're here, of remembering who Christ is and who God is and what he tasked us with. And that we're not saved by our own doing, but that we're a direct representation of, when we say we're Christians, to grow in loving Christ and grow in Jesus and share that with the world. That's what life groups enables and empowers believers to be able to do. It enables them to come together to grow, to have support, to have security, to be on mission, on task in the middle of the week, because during that week, I'm sure there's work and there's relationships and there's everything else in life that may present its own struggles. And it's important that we also focus on Christ every day. We make it a point to kind of come together. And so a passage that I'm not going to spend too time in, it's Romans 12, 4 and 5. And what that passage highlights is that when believers are coordinated, it makes a healthier church. And this passage, it speaks about believers and people in the church being members of the body and members of a literal physical body, right? Bodies have noses, eyes, ears, feet, hands, right? We have all these different parts. And in this verse, I'm going to read it. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." What's important is it's laying out, we're all different parts of that body, right? There are some people here that are the eyes, right? Some people are the nose, if I'm relating that to a literal sense. There are some people in this church who can lead a group and foster that spiritual conversation in it. There are some people who host a group, who enjoy having people into their homes. There are some people who are able to speak, and they speak. And what we see is all these parts of the body, they make up one entity. But what's really important is that that body stays coordinated. Now, Pastor Tony read from a passage in 1 Corinthians. It was 12, 12 to 27. I'm not going to reread all that, right? We're just going to look at that. But I'm going to point out the key things that were read there. And it said, if the whole body was an eye, how would it hear? If the whole body was a nose, how would we see? Right? We need every part of the body to come together to function. We need the feet so that way the church can walk. We need the hands, that way the church can reach out to the community. We need eyes so that we can have a vision. We need a nose so we can kind of know what's going on. We need ears to be able to hear. It is only when every part of that body comes together and operates that we can have a true, healthy church that reaches out to the community. That there is a diversity of gifts that exists amongst a congregation of believers where we do need each other. There is that direct calling. And I don't know about you, but you know, when somebody does not exercise all the time, when you get back into it, it kind of stinks. Right? It's extra burdensome. Maybe you used to be able to lift certain weights. You can't lift anymore. Maybe you remember when you used to be able to run down the block and sprint, and now you're like, oh my goodness, I kind of eat dirt after like 2 seconds, right? As much as we need to train our physical body, the church needs to train itself. When members come together, we correlate and connect with one another. We become stronger because the arm learns how to work with the leg. The other leg learns how to work with the other leg. The eyes get to know where to turn the head so that way the ears can hear. There's all these different aspects that correlate to one another, which is why it's so essential. We need to train the body so the body is strong. Another aspect that's important, that goes back to the passage in Acts, is there's this distinction of we have meeting in the church, but also meeting in one's home. And something about that's important about our homes is that homes are personal to us. Homes are known to be a safe place. Where you come in, that's where all your stuff is. That's normally where your family resides. Where after work, whatever may have happened, you walk through your door, and now you're home. Whether you rent, whether you own, it's irrelevant. That's your place. We are called to invite people into that personal space where we are welcoming and opening it up to them. And that's that direct calling in the same way we're supposed to open up our home and welcome people in is the same way we ourselves as people are supposed to open up to others and connect with others. There's this importance of having that. Now, something that's important that you've heard me say is we had the church needs to coordinate itself, and that can be done by having Sunday service and life groups, right, to grow together. And in doing that, as what happened in Acts, is the church was able to reach out to the community, and day by day they were being saved in the early church. When trying to think about a group, examples, right, Jesus is a pretty good person to pull examples from if I had to pick one person, right? And so in looking at that, although different contexts, I'm going to touch on that Jesus assembled his own group when looking to establish a mission on earth. He assembled a group of 12 apostles. Now, our life groups, that is totally different, right? I'm kind of comparing the two in the sense of how powerful groups can be. Jesus' apostles were different, right? But something to point out is Jesus assembled 12 apostles together. That there was this relationship, especially back in historical times with Jesus, that it was normal for a person to come under the influence of a teacher or a rabbi. And so that's what the apostles did, this group of 12, came under the teaching of Jesus. And within this small group, they were able to reach this level of maturity where they graduated out from under Jesus' care and they became apostles. And apostles is also called sent ones, translated, sent out. And so, although different from our life groups, we see that there is this connection where people can come together, grow, and from there, they're able to be sent out into the world. And there's this chain reaction that occurs, that when a church is healthy, the believers are healthy, then we have this direct correlation to reaching out to the world around us. That us as a church, we are not called to sit stagnant. We are called to grow as believers and together. And that we are to reach this lost world around us, especially in our modern day society. There's a lot of bad that exists. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of struggle. There's just evil out there. And how important is it for us in that time that it gets darker out in the world that we present that light for others, that we can reach out and build ourselves up, but also reach to the community. And this is kind of where we get what our life groups are all about from, where people in the church can come together at a different level where they can talk and be more coordinated and train each other together. We see that there's a direct correlation between life groups with security and support, but that it also helps us interact with the outside world. And so how our groups are kind of structured is there's approximately 11 groups, and they're based around the sermon that happens on Sunday. And that's what the questions and the discussion revolves around. Now, we have groups in all different towns, and what this does, by having the same common questions, we allow everybody, although in different places, to be having the similar conversation. What's so cool about that is there are people in this church. What I'm going to do is I advise all the leaders. I'm not going to make them come up. But if there is a leader or host, would you please stand if you're here right now? I know we had a decent amount in the first service. We have a couple around the room. Awesome. So these are people who are, and you guys, thank you. Maybe seated. There are people in this church who take time to make it a point to open up their homes to foster the spiritual development within the church. And if that is something that somebody is ever interested in doing, you can always come and find me and talk to me. But our groups are people like that who are welcoming others into their home. What we want you to do is feel really comfortable. If you did want to sign up for a group, you can. And so what we did that's unique this Sunday is outside in the sanctuary, there's a table. And there's all these cool little QR codes that Pastor Tom made to make it easy to sign up for a group. I would encourage you, if you are interested in trying a group and learning to grow more, that you would just find me out there. I'm going to be standing behind that table after service. That you come and talk to me. But while we close out, let's close out in prayer here. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to be able to come up here and talk about life groups and how important they are in the life of believers, that we're called to be there for each other, whether it be for safety and security, but also support. And how when that is perfectly enabled, we're able to interact with the community around us and how important that is. But God, I also pray if there is somebody here that they're hearing about this community, they're hearing about this love and building each other up in Christ, but they don't know God and they don't know you, Jesus, I ask that they would come to know you. I ask that if you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus before, that all you have to do is acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that he's faithful to save us if we call upon him. And God, I just ask that as we kind of go into the new year here, that you would just keep us on path. That you would help us to grow together, to stay steady in your word, that we enter where the world cannot be the most friendliest place right now, where there's a lot going on out there, that we would be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope to others. God, I pray that you would use us in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen.